Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 5 for our study today of number 30. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study Number 30-Charity. Let's pray before we start this lesson. Father, give us that which we need today. Touch our hearts, our minds, our lips, our soul, our heart. May we declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in your Bible, please, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 5. The Bible said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." In our last study, which was study number 29, we looked at the words "in faith," and we finished verse number 4. In this study today, which is study number 30, we will begin with verse number 5. We will do our usual breakdown of the verse to make it easier to understand. There are three statements in verse number 5. They are statement number 1, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart." Statement number 2 is, "and of a good conscience." And statement number 3 is, "and of faith unfeigned." Now there's a comma after the first and second statement, if you'll notice. And there's a colon after the third statement. This is how I separate the statements in a verse. You could read these as, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart." And the second one you could read, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a good conscience." And then you could read the third statement, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of faith unfeigned." Now we'll look at all three of these statements a little later. Now we didn't add or take away from the Word of God there. This is what Paul's trying to convey over to our heart, and we give God the praise for it. Now, we like to look at the characters in the verse. So in verse number 5, we find first, there's Paul. He's the inspired writer under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The second person in verse number 5 is the Holy Ghost, which is the divine author of this book, and he is the third person of the Godhead. And then the third person in this verse 5 is Timothy, who is the recipient of the letter from the Apostle Paul. The fourth character or study here of the group is the church, or the born-again believers who are in Ephesus here. And then the fifth group or characters that we want to talk about and look at that this verse is given to, it's you and I, who are the believers in this day of grace. Regardless of where we are the recipients today of this book of 1 Timothy. Now the place of this verse is in Ephesus, as it's been since verse number 1. Things hadn't changed. The special things of this great book of great importance that we want to notice are commandment, the word charity, the word pure heart, the words good conscience, and the words faith unfeigned. Now the word commandment means a directive. It means an order or a demand, a charge, an instruction, a mandate, if you will, a command or a decree. That's what the word commandment means. Now we'll now look at the words, "Now the end of the commandment." That's the phrase we'll use for a moment. Now the end of the commandment. The word "now" in verse number 5, as the first word of this verse, lets us know that it's a continuation of verse number 3 and verse number 4. Paul is about to tell us something concerning the end of the age, the end of the charge, excuse me, and it's going to be this commandment, this decree, or this command. And this is the end of the first charge that's given to Timothy by the Apostle Paul to give to the church here in Ephesus. Notice the word "the" in front of the word "commandment." Thee is a definite article, and it denotes a certain or specific commandment. We have to look at the scriptures here to see what commandment Paul is talking about. It's not one of the Ten Commandments, as some may think. It's the charge in verse number 2 and 3 that Paul has given Timothy to declare unto the church and to the believers. This charge again is, number 1, that they teach no other doctrine in verse number 3. Number 2, that neither they are to give heed to fables in verse 4, and neither give heed to endless genealogies also found in verse number 4. Now in this verse, we're going to see the attitude, the manner, and the compassion of the delivery of the message Paul wants this message to be delivered with. Timothy is not only told what to preach by the apostle, but he is told how he should deliver the message. In this verse, he is to deliver this charge with clarity or charity out of a pure heart. He also adds that this charge is to be delivered in good conscience and with faith unfeigned. We will look at these phrases in this verse as we go along. Down through the years as a preacher, I've said that I will not be told how or what to preach by anybody. That sure sounded good and people liked it. That statement got me a few amens. It even felt good in my heart to say it. But as the years went by, I found out that the Lord, through the Holy Ghost, tells me how and what to preach every time I stand if I allow Him to lead and direct me. This is seen here in our verse 5. Paul has told Timothy what to preach in verse 3 and 4, as we have just pointed out. He has told him also how he's to preach in verse number 5. Remember, the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are the pastoral epistles, or the church manual, as I like to call it. These books give us the instructions for the operation of the church and the conduct of the leaders of the church, which includes the preachers and the deacons and anybody else in leadership position. In this verse number 5, Timothy is told to preach this charge in charity. Charity means in love, in kindness, in compassion, in sympathy, in understanding or in consideration of the hearers. To sum this up, preachers, we are to preach in love, to preach in kindness, preach in compassion, preach in sympathy, in understanding, and in consideration of our congregation. I hope to clarify this a bit more in the lesson or in some of the others that are to follow. Now, Timothy is also told here how he's to preach this charge in charity. He said first, he's told to preach it in charity out of a pure heart. Secondly, he's told to preach it in charity out of a good conscience. And third, he's told to preach it in charity out of a faith unfeigned. As men of God, we're told how and what to preach as well. God help us to listen, and God help us to do as we're told. That humbles my heart. We will proceed to clarify some of these things in this lesson, and then we'll move on. We trust that you will allow God to speak to your heart. We hope these lessons will help strengthen you in the faith and open your eyes of understanding to what God expects from us as His children. Paul uses this word commandment over 20 times in his writings. It is always a demand. It's always a charge or a command, either by him or from him, from God in heaven, or it's a command of men or leaders such as kings and magistrates. You have to read the scriptures to find out the place and where and who is bringing forth the command. A complete look of this word, amen, will help you if you'll take time to search all the references out. We'll not do that in these little short studies. Use a concordance and look these references up. Doing this will help you, and it'll teach you to study on your own and let the Holy Spirit, who's the divine teacher and the tutor of the Bible, to teach and train you. Now, Timothy is to preach the charge in charity. Now the word charity is mentioned 24 times in the scriptures. Out of the 24 times that this word is used, the Apostle Paul uses it 18 times. This is a New Testament word and not used in the Old Testament. And it's a word that's loved by the Apostle Paul, as you can see. Now, I want you to look at this verse number 5. We see here, Paul is telling Timothy to preach this charge in love, to preach this charge in kindness, to preach this charge in compassion, to preach this charge in sympathy, in understanding, and in consideration of the hearers when he preaches it. Paul is saying, don't preach it like you're cramming it down their throats, or getting even with them, or agitating them, but with some love and compassion and kindness when you stand before them. Paul is saying to Timothy, when you stand before them, tell them the truth, spare no feelings, cut no corners, and tell it like it is, but do it with love and compassion for them. I will admit, that's a hard thing to do. It's not easy at all. Amen. But that's what we must do. This is good advice for all men of God. Many times if we're not careful, we'll step into the pulpit like we've got a war to fight. And we do against the devil. And that's in front of us. We consider them as enemies or some criminals, and they're all out to get us. Many years ago, we did not see all the animosity in the pulpits that we see today. Many of our preachers seem to preach as if they're trying to get even with the congregation or settle a score with at least some that are in their audience. God help us to stand with compassion, to stand in the pulpit with love, and stand in the pulpit with some concern for those we're preaching to. Many times it even sounds like we're excited about hearing judgment news from heaven and enjoy watching people squirm in their seats because God is against them for their wickedness. Oh God, help me have the right attitude about the preaching of the Word of God when I step into the pulpit with the message of heaven on my soul. Now don't think that I'm trying to advocate for preachers to water down soft soap or tiptoe through the tulips. I do not, amen, even think that whatsoever. We should not do that. We are not to compromise on the truth just because the people we're preaching to in the congregation may be our friends, our family, our foes. The Word of God is the Word of God and the divine final authority for our lives. But we should preach as if the message we're preaching is our last one. And we will wish we had when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If it were not for the grace of God, we would be in the same place they're in. We probably are, but maybe not guilty of the same transgressions. The pastor or the preacher is the only, he's only the delivery boy for the Lord God. We're not to hatch up the message to deliver, nor to deliver it in the way we desire to deliver it. We're to fall into the hands of God and allow Him to direct and take full control of our lives completely. We are His servants and His vessels. We are His instruments and His tools to get the Word of God into the hearts of the people that we are preaching to. Many times we think that we are the ones that God has picked to change the lives of men and change the lives of women. But in the Lord, amen, it's Him that makes and can only make that change in the lives and hearts of the people that we are preaching to. The mailman will deliver good news sometimes, and sometimes he'll deliver some bad news. The preacher's God's heavenly mailman with news from God. The gospel is the good news of God and the only hope for our souls. The bad news is that we are all sinners, and the good news is that God wants and is able to save sinners for which He came into the world to die for. In Luke chapter 19, in verse number 10, which is one of my favorite verses, the Lord said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Thank God He loves us. He wants to save us. Now we hope this lesson, number 30, has been a blessing. has been an encouragement and a help to your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to let this soak into your soul and stir your heart and your life. If you want to learn more about our ministry, just go to Google. Type in three words, Pastor Dennis Deals, and follow the leads. Spell that Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, Deals, D-I-L-L-S, and follow those leads. We'd like to hear from you. God bless you. Amen and amen.